You're listening to the RRR podcast.
Welcome to the RRR podcast. We bring you the latest in Toku news, in-depth discussions, and everything else that you could ask for, all with a healthy dose of insanity. So here are your hosts, Shugun Shinobi, Dawson Rider, Jedimon, and Aerosol. Riders, Rangers, and Rambles, Season 5. Ready? Go!
Hello and welcome again to our Season 5, Episode 37.
Cut to the chase. Horse sense, stuck in the suburbs. Smart house. He's a smart guy.
God damn it.
There. Can we just get to the
smart house was mine. Okay. Sorry. I brought it up to begin with.
I was just trying to cut to the chase and do
also,
all the pre-show banter.
I kind of Kevin the opening, Brian. So
it's fine. I don't care.
I was just trying to zoom through the banter that wasn't recorded. It was like that time we had to re-record an entire chunk of the episode and we were being really sarcastic about it, but no one understood why but us.
It was one of the Twitter question segments.
Jumping Ship was a really odd sequel to Horse Sense. There, that was pretty much it. Like,
we were talking about obscure movies, then I brought up Smart House, and then Dawson had like a great, like, comfy couch moment.
Yeah, I completely forgot about it. I can't believe that. All that history gone. I can't replicate my tangent that was mild to moderately not entertaining about Horse Sense.
Talk about Halloween Town.
And
I said there were 5 movies. Dawson said there were 4. I
Boom,
felt
Halloween
bad.
Lawyers. Halloween Town jammed.
I like that you actually felt
that. You know what's
bad.
Funny about those
I
movies?
I feel
first
bad.
Movie, in the first movie, the little brother was like this little kid. And then he went through puberty by the second movie, and he was like super tall and had a deep voice. I question whether it was the same kid. I actually never bothered to look it up.
You know, in every single movie, he goes through the same arc. I don't believe in magic. Oh, I guess I believe in magic now. I don't believe in magic. Oh, well, shit. I guess I believe in magic now.
It's funny because that's exactly how it is right down to the, well, I guess I believe in magic. It's not like a triumphant, happy, I believe in magic. It's like, man, I guess. It's pretty much what it is.
Man, I guess.
Classic brother from Halloween Town, his name I can't remember.
His name was Dylan.
There we go.
I don't know why I remember that.
I remember Marnie was the one of the names, and that's all I remember. Oh, and Aggie. Don't forget Benny, the bones guy. He's like, I drag a cab. Drive a cab. Drag? That's what cab drivers who can't afford gas do. Wow.
Brian, please tell me that it crashed again so we can redo all of this.
Tell me that it crashed again and then it really didn't crash the first time. This is like the guy movie we got deposited in an alternate dimension.
We can pretend it crashed.
We're playing soccer right now.
Hit the reset button again.
Oop, finger slipped.
Blimey.
Hello and welcome to RC.
Cut to the chase 3. Take 3. We do bloopers on the show, but just the whole show is a blooper. We don't cut anything out.
That's basically what it's boiled down to. Okay, so one-ups. For realsies. Not that we got that far the first time, but
we didn't even get to the one-ups first time.
I found Fury and I kept calling him the Vivek, even though I think it's Vivix, because there's an X at the end, not a K. I can't read, apparently.
The human cabbage. Not cabbage. Seaweed, sorry.
They're the same letter. So I found those. I found all the new keys. I found the Gold Morpher. What else have I found? I bought Combiner Wars Optimus Prime just because I had a gift card and I saw him and was like, okay, that's my life. I might have gotten an Oki box since last podcast. I think I did.
Why are you being secretive about it? What's in that box?
I don't remember if I had it last podcast or not.
Oh.
I don't think I did.
I don't even remember the last podcast.
I don't remember what was in it exactly. There was 66 action figures, and then there was a Makai
Kato. He means like the series, not like there was literally 66 action figures.
No, I know. I got that.
No, but that could be easily confused because before you quit figure arts, that's what happens when you collect figure arts. So like 25 exclusives and 2 retails. Oh, thanks. And like half of those were wizard forms, so.
Trying to see what, hi Zeus. Trying to see what else was. Oh, the Kuliner, Darkliner, whatever the hell you want to call it, the Kriner according to the box.
Kuliner. That line of state to coup, I do
Kleiner
declare.
Is, I guess technically how Recliner, you would say it, but. Anyway. Tokuger may suck, but that figure is just really damn good.
I'm really sad I didn't get it. It's pretty cool looking.
It's really nice. But yeah, I think that's about it. I'm not up to a whole lot. I've been playing Smash a lot recently for whatever reason. I still don't have Duck Hunt unlocked, and I'm pissed because I like Duck Hunt. He's cool. That's my statement.
That's my statement.
I like Duck Hunt. He's cool.
I can't end my press conference every calls me call. That's ridiculous. Okay, let's see. What's my life? Okay, I also found keys. It took a couple stores because I have competition here. Somebody named Rancor or something. I don't know. I'm keeping an eye on them. I don't want to know about me.
Competition.
I know, it's annoying. I'm like, no one else is supposed to know about Colorado but me. What the hell? So I hate everyone that lives here, except me and my friend that lives here. I just exclude my parents. That's really mean. But and my dogs. Anyway, so I found that. I also found those robot mecha thing, the dinosaur ones. One of them looks like traffic safety robot.
Oh, the smart armors.
Yeah, it's awful. The black one. He's terrible. He's like so orange. I'm upset about him. Don't even get me started. And I found that 10-inch sound. Whoa, just take it easy, man, Red Ranger, where he can't put his hand down. I constantly feel the need to high-five him. It's really obnoxious. I think that's it for purchases. Because of our Yu-Gi-Oh! Talk last week, I have now gotten in the Yu-Gi-Oh! Mood. Aerosol turned me on Yu-Gi-Oh!-wise. It's really disturbing to say. So I've started to catch up on Arc 5. I'm not very far. I'm on, like, episode 16, I think. I think I left off on, like, 10. I ended up accidentally watching an episode I already watched. I didn't realize it till like a certain part. It was when she went to grab for a card and she grabbed for Reflection instead.
Oh, right.
Yeah, so I entered on a pretty entertaining stretch of episodes because it was like the tail end of that competition about all the summonings. And they're like, oh my god, that guy can Xyz summon. I mean, Pendulum summon. And then now I'm on the episode where they're fighting Japanese Yu-Gi-Oh! Bobby Flay. But it's been entertaining enough.
I will warn you, the next match he has with the game show kid, I don't like it. I think it's probably the weakest like duel in the series so far.
Like it's just it's all over the place. How funny! Like because you were talking about how it was getting good, and so when I started watching it, I'm like, oh, this wasn't so bad. Maybe I was out of Yu-Gi-Oh when I was last watching it, and then all of a sudden they're fighting cooking people. It's not like it was like I was gonna claw my own eyes out, but still, it was pretty silly. And for whatever reason that I don't remember the first part of his name, but the Whip Viper is like my favorite monster. I don't know why. I just love him so much. He has the dumbest look on his face all the time. And he like always uses him. And I really like that he can be used on the field. Like he uses him as a rope. So I don't know why, but I've like randomly become obsessed with that monster for some reason.
He's he's one of the more like commonly used ones. Has he used, I think it's called Draw Lizard yet? It's basically just Charmander in a trench coat.
I have not seen that. Like, I would have thought that. The last new one he used was like a lion thing that like gives power to people by jumping through fire hoops or something. I don't know. But I really like that snake thing. I don't know why. I want to go get the cards for it just because. That's been pretty much it, at least for things that are noteworthy. I think I haven't started watching anything else other than How I Met Your Mother commentary still. The end. I forgot how you end these.
Sorry, I was finding a picture.
Oh no, I have not seen that yet, but that is Charmander. That is that. Charmander is double timing, double timing Pokemon.
Double timing.
Double timing. You're like, two timing. Boom. There we go. When someone's cheating, you say two timing.
Crap,
I want to call it
a
double
Charmander.
Timing.
Jesus
See?
Christ.
Charmander.
That was terrible. I'm
it's a Charmander
now.
Who decided to, you know, join the circus and become a ringleader. So I'm alive. How about that news?
For some reason, I thought that was going to lead to a story where you almost died this week, but it was just
no,
a fact. It's
week.
Like the Ron Swanson of just. I'm just going to state facts. Marlene Greggs Nope was a woman that worked in government for many years.
All right. So there's like not a lot of news.
No.
There is a. So not only. Lockseed collectors are like the most unfortunate souls on the planet. Outside of figure art collectors, because you guys are just broke.
I'm both.
Because not only to get them all now, do you have to buy a like $100 Blu-ray?
No.
To get.
I'm just gonna tell you right now. No. Why is Japan so expensive
I don't
for Blu-rays?
Know. Japan's...
They don't know how to Blu-ray right.
So not only do you have to buy that to get the Apple Lock, you have to buy a premium set, which is a lot more affordable. It's only like $28 or something, since the exchange rate's still really good. So not only do you have to buy the Blu-ray, you have to buy the premium set to get the DX Watermelon Lockseed, and not to be confused with Suica. We went over this where we made jokes and shit before. So that's a thing that comes with a new Zangetsu faceplate, because apparently he gets a different faceplate when he's in that form.
Selling.
Because toys. So that is a thing. I haven't watched it, but there's an animated Gridman short out there somewhere. So you can make Superhuman Samurai Cyber Squad jokes. So that's a thing. I tried to watch it, but it like wouldn't load on my laptop, so I said... Fuck it. Let's see, what else do we got? Go ahead.
We have Dino Charge episode summaries. That's what you're
really
saying, huh?
So yeah, not only do we find out that it is airing February 7th, which made my February 14th estimations all sorts of wrong.
By 7 days. It's a whole week.
It's a whole week, man. We got the first four episode titles that I... Or not... Did we have the titles? I don't remember. We have the summaries.
Episode 1, Powers from the Past. Episode 2, Past, Present, Fusion. Episode 3, A Fool's Hour. And episode 4, Return of the Caveman.
I heard it as Ethelsode, and I was just thinking about Ethel Beavers. Beavers did it! Ethel Beavers is in episode 3 of Dino Charge, confirmed.
I read them, and I like how they're kind of all, at least for the most part, I mean, I'm sure they're going to be somewhat episodic, but they're all kind of leading into each other.
Yeah, I'm glad it doesn't seem like it's one of those everyone gets everything in the first episode type deals. It seems like it's spread out a little bit, kind of like how Carry Users was in a sense, you know, how they spread out everyone getting together. So I like that, because I like when they feel more natural like that. It sounded like I was talking about boobs, didn't it?
Not until you said it, but...
I'm sorry. But, yeah, I like the way it sounds so far, especially the Ethel Beavers episode. Blooper reel. Yeah. Like, I'm surprised the first episode isn't called Dino Charge.
They had a track record set up, but...
Oh, no, wait, it's only the super ones they do that for, isn't it? Because Megaforce was called Mega Mission, Samurai's was called Origins Wolverine, South the Wolverine part. So,
Samurai's
so it'll
was be called Mike the episode or whatever.
Yeah, oh, yeah. I actually forgot what it was called now. Mike the episode sounds right, though. But so it won't be until season 2 when they call it Dino Supercharged that we'll know for sure whether they're sticking to that or not.
Dino Supercharge just sounds terrible. Sounds like a terrible title. I'm sorry.
The Past, Present, and Fusion sounds like a title I would make. Like some sort of bizarre Power Rangers Dragon Ball Z episode. Gotenks is in it for some reason. I don't know why. Gotenks and Ethel Beavers have somehow made their way into Dino Charge, and I kind of like it.
Yeah.
What?
I said, yep. Oh. I was just responding to what he said.
Can you repeat that, please, sir? I need to respond to that accordingly.
I'm kind of surprised that they went the Courageer with it, because Power Rangers is always such a, like, first episode, bam, powers, hooray.
Especially lately, when they don't have multiple parts. This one sounds like it would be a good one to air as an hour. It's unfortunate we can't do that.
Yeah.
But that's not really so much their fault as it is Nick's scheduling, like, allowances. Like, they, you know, can't give him a full hour, because that Fairly Odd Parents rerun right afterwards, super important.
They don't get enough allowance from Daddy Nick.
It's not... Oh, that sounds creepy. I feel like that's something that Nick from New Girl would say. Like, I can hear him saying that right now.
Yeah, me too.
I don't know what's going on.
We're then getting Metal Gurumon, Brian! Yeah, Brian, watch New Girl and Metal Gurumon. Not like watch Metal Gurumon. I was just stating my excitement. Finally.
And this one's going to be prettier because it's the original designer's edition.
OD, that's like the old gal. Old dad. Because OG is old gal. That's what it really means when people are like, oh, it's the OG. And George and I have this bit about old gal. But OD is like old dad. Brian, why don't you just be more cultured?
Well, judging by the definition of cultured, I think I am, but...
I'm not.
I think that's about it. So, yes, I dare say we can.
Yay! Now it's time for superhero time! It's actually not as exciting as I make it sound. I'm very sorry.
It's not going to live up to the hype of that.
So it's Tokyuger episode 44. Plot stuff happens, I guess.
Yeah, basically. Like I tweeted this earlier, like Tokyuger just frustrates the shit out of me. I'm watching this, and they spent a lot of the episode like, oh, why does Wright have so much darkness and what's his connection with Zed and yada yada, and I'm sitting there like multiple things are running through my mind about how they could essentially be connected. And so I'm sitting here going like, Tokyuger, you have some pretty cool toys. Your Megazords are kind of weird, but that's fine, it's trains. And I'm like, you have some really cool plot points going on. And your villains are pretty damn good. And you're getting to be an actually entertaining show.
You're saying a lot of stuff to Tokyuger. Just this long list. Like, Tokyuger, let me say something.
I can't ignore the fact that like they spent so much of the show doing absolutely nothing with really boring characters. That even though it got to this good point and I am enjoying it, I'm still not enjoying it, I guess. Which is completely contradicting what I just said. But
no, I get what you mean. It's, the episodes themselves are enjoyable, but it does kind of take away from it when you didn't really like the build-up to it.
Mm-hmm.
So I totally get what you mean. And this episode in particular was fine. We're kind of in the midst of the end game here. But a lot of this just kind of felt like set up for next week.
It was.
Because it just felt like we were sort of meandering around a bit. The first like 5 minutes of this episode was just an extended flashback to scenes we've already seen.
It was. I'm like, is this another clip show?
Yeah. I questioned that myself as well. But it ended off on a cliffhanger with Wright transforming into Tokyo Ichigo Black. So I mean, we'll find out what it means next week, I guess, but it was an all right episode. Just, I don't know. It feels like we're still kind of delaying what they're saving for the end.
So. Yeah.
It just feels like a weight.
I can agree to that. Like, I think it's even worse because it took so long to get to where they're at via the means of so little that they're kind of they got there too quickly, and then they're like, oh, hold on, well, ease it back. We still got like 4 episodes. Chill a little bit.
If Tokyuger was a car on the road, it would be someone who's just beginning to drive, and they're like, they go a little bit, and then they like hit the brake because they don't want to go too fast, but they hit the brake too hard, so they just completely like stop. Then they go a little bit, and then they stop, and they go a little bit, and now they're like in the middle of an intersection, and.
that was a very elaborate metaphor.
Driver's ed teacher is yelling at them because they took a corner too sharp and they almost flipped the vehicle, and now they have to retake driver's ed next year because I don't know. I think that got a little personal there.
there. But no, I elaborate metaphor, but I can completely agree with that.
Sorry, I've been comparing everything to cars recently.
poor Drive. I will say, I think I've said this before, but I really like the dark Tokyo Ichigo suit. It's like sparkly and shit.
It's cool.
Like it.
It's neat. I don't know why it's here, but it's cool.
Yeah, because apparently, like, the darkness affects his suit. It dyed it. It stained it. Like, oh God, you're too red, and then it made it glittery somehow. I don't know. It makes him sticky, and he rolled a bunch of glitter. I don't know.
Yeah,
I'll just stop. Like,
I'm getting dirty jokes in my head, so please, before I go too far.
As it stands right now, the transformation just sort of happened. Like, we don't really have enough of an explanation for it. If it really is just right head darkness in him now. Then that's kind of a lame explanation. So I hope there's something more to it, but
maybe he did the laundry. And there was something sparkly in it. Like when Spider-Man washes his suit and he gets his underwear all red and blue. No, that can't be it. Too simple. I don't know. I was just trying to think of something funny. I haven't watched it. This is all I have to contribute.
At least I understand aerosol's metaphors.
What? If you wash a suit... How do you not understand that? That happens all the time. If you wash something in the laundry, it's colored with something white. That's why there's whites and colors, Brian.
Right used sparkle suds.
Dress loud. There we go. How did this joke never happen before?
Right, I don't know.
Is dressing loud. He probably uses the glitter butter, too. Disco butter. Spread the party.
It's so distracting whenever you see Tom, because ever so often, he has glitter on his face. Like, there's just random glitter on him sometimes.
Tom's just always experimenting with it, so. Oh. Sparkle suds, dressed loud. I also love Yogurt Platinum. That's still one of my favorites. Ron, he's going to steal Yogurt Platinum. Tom.
Okay, so speaking of Tom, Drive.
Drive. If Tom was in this episode, it would have been the best thing ever. That's how my segues are. They're brilliant. Okay, so Drive. This episode, I didn't hate this episode. I felt that the structure of it was really strange because it was like we opened with the mystery of Chase. How did I forget his name? Chase. And that was already... delayed by Mach. So we open up with that, and then we, like, for the middle chunk and the majority of the episode, go on this mystery, and then we end cap on it. It just seemed kind of strange to me. Maybe it's just me. It was just kind of weird. And I already felt weird because of how, like, Chase's, like, build-up story has just been kind of disjointed.
Well, it was kind of like that's what they wanted to do with the whole episode, but then they're like, shit, we need more shit in this. Well, I just said shit a lot. Shit in the episode. And so they like added the plots with the model and stuff, and they just kind of kept with it. Like,
I did think it was interesting.
We'll get back to this next episode.
That there's a Roy Mude protecting her, and there was kind of a like bait and switch there. But I was more interested in the chase stuff at least, and it was pretty obvious he was going to be Proto Drive. I mean, I thought for a second he was going to be Luke Spencer, but it was pretty obvious. But I like it, even though it was expected. I like it. I think it'll give him something interesting to play off of for sure.
Have either one of you watched the Proto Drive thing?
I didn't even know it was out.
Yeah.
Did is that where Shinosuke found out? Like, or did he find out about you know Chase being Proto Drive, or is that all in this episode?
All in this episode.
I think it was all in this episode. There wasn't that, like, that entire Proto Drive thing was just all like
prequel.
Well,
like,
backstory.
I couldn't figure out at the beginning of this episode why they were talking about how Kiriko can't find out that he's a Roid Mute. I'm like, why?
Yeah, and why is Mach being such a dick about killing him?
I can understand keeping from her, or, you know, I think keeping anything from her would be stupid, but I can understand worrying about her finding out that he would be Proto Drive, but not, you know, that he would be a Roid Mute. You know, I don't see why that was a big deal.
Yeah, I can agree there. I don't completely understand their logic either.
Like, I didn't really understand why Mach was so adamant about, like, stopping Chase before he talked to her or anything. I mean, I get that he's dangerous, but maybe it's just because I know that he's trying to figure something out, and I think he's just being a jerk. It's like, Chase is just trying to figure out his life, and Mach's just running up, posing in front of him, like, dude, chill out.
And, well, it's, if Mach, like, knew before this that he was Proto Drive and knew the significance that had with his sister, then fine, like, I get it, but if he didn't have
random.
All of that knowledge prior to this moment, then it's like, well, that's just kind of creating drama for the sake of it. And
yeah,
I'm not interested in that. This episode made me sleepy.
And Chase just always looks sleepy. He really does. He's just always got this, like, tired expression on his face.
Well, he's exhausted from following Drive around, like, all day long at Burger King, and then he goes to Starbucks, he goes home, he's just outside his window while he sleeps, just waiting. I'm hoping that now that he's finding things out, maybe he'll try to chill out a little bit.
No.
I was even making a joke about that. I just meant that I was bored.
But, I just wanted to talk about how Chase is weird. But this episode was so weird. Like, there was a lot I liked and a lot that was
Drive,
like, just not fun.
Is a lot like what we talk about Tokuser, is there's so many elements I like, but they're just not executing them right. Like, I really like the Proto Drive Chase, and like, there's so many different story elements that if the show wasn't trying to be a million different things at once, like, I would be in love with the show because there's so many cool ideas and designs, but it's like, it's so random. I feel like the episodes would at least be 20% better if the cop people didn't exist. I mean, not like Shinosuke being a cop, but I mean just the unit.
They made me really upset.
The only thing that amuses me is the one guy not being able to remember the name Roy Mude, because it reminds me of me when I think I hear a complicated name and I just say the closest thing possible to it in my brain. I find that mildly amusing, but otherwise I would enjoy Drive even that much more if they weren't in it, because they're a big part of the stupid comedy I don't like, and I can never tell if that's because the humor doesn't translate or if they're just forcing it so hard or both.
I think it's a little bit of both, but Boken Pink was in it. Woo.
She was?
Yeah, that was the model.
Oh, I didn't even know.
Yeah, I didn't know either.
I wouldn't have known if everyone wasn't like, oh my god, Boken Pink is going to be in Drive. Ah. If no one said that, I wouldn't have recognized her at all.
I didn't know Gilmon was such a huge Boken Pink fan.
He is. He loves everything.
He loves bread and Sakura, and that's all he needs in life.
That's it. Yeah, I think the whole Chase's Proto Drive thing would have a lot more impact on me if it wasn't so flippin' obvious.
And they're both purple. That's all the evidence
it,
you need.
It reminded me a lot of, like, the Fueki White Wizard Wise Man thing.
Yeah, where you kind of knew it.
Except even more obvious.
You're just kind of waiting for it to come out.
But now, like, looking at the previews, they're, like, going to brainwash them or something? I'm like, again? I'm like, why this? You build up to this weekly, but you build up to it. And then you do the reveal, and then it's like, oh, brainwash, he's going to kick your ass again.
They got to keep the conflict going.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want him to go to one...
He needs to keep chasing him, hence the name.
I don't want him to go to one extreme or the other. Like, I don't want him to go to, oh, he's completely brainwashed, he's going to attack him again. Or I don't want him to completely join the side of the good guys, all of a sudden be flipping around the base with everyone else in his purple pants. Like, I kind of want him to float around and, I don't know, figure out his life. We need an X element instead of just, you know, one side or the other. So hopefully if they do brainwash him, that'll just be for that episode.
Yeah, I hope it's brief, if anything. Because I think he'd be a lot more interesting of a character as a floater, so to speak, than being like, oh, I'm a good guy, I'm a Kamen Rider, oh my god, my head. And then it's like, oh, kill.
I'm a Kamen Rider now.
And so, this show, man.
I don't know why. Probably because it was just such an obvious toy thing. I hated how one of the clues was that his bike instinctively combined with Mox, which even if Chase wasn't evil, that would still be a terrible operating system. Like, you just happen to accidentally drive too close to your partner and your bikes combine, and it can clearly only fit one person, so what happens to the other dude if they were working together? Like, do they rock, paper, scissors it real quick? I don't know.
He just gets, like, kicked out.
And that just seems so random. It's just, I kind of
felt bad for him, because I feel like Chase was trying to go after Kiriko because he wanted to save her.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, oh, he's being heroic. That's kind of neat. And then Mox just kind of fucking comes in, chases after him. Chases pretty after rough. Chase. I'm like, go figure. And then the bikes just combine. He gets shoved off and rolls around on the ground.
That's why he's going
to... Poor guy. He tries to do something heroic and he gets pushed off his bike by the bike.
Not even his bike is his friend.
Then it de-untransforms, as we like to call it before, and he just kind of disgruntledly just approaches them. It's like, I want my bike back, God.
He was like, why does my bike do that? And then Brain comes up, he's like, I'll tell you. He's like, bro, we're trying to solve this bike problem right now, just can you wait? Like, just can you just be cool just once?
Where does my bike combine? Well, there's a story about that.
I'm trying to figure out why it would combine, though. I mean, just on a technology level, because Proto Drive was first, right? The prototype.
My assumption is, well, because the ride
was after Drive, wasn't it?
The ride
after...
chaser is designed after Proto Drive's bike. And okay. So the guy that made Mach was making the drive unit with Krim. And so I assume he's over in America going, well, they're working on this proto thing, and he has a bike, so we'll take the statistics for his bike, and we'll make my guy's bike be able to combine with it so that they can work together with a tank.
But see, that's the thing, is I get that why they would be compatible, like, technology-wise, but, well, sort of. But I don't understand, like, the timeline of it, because I assume Mach was made sort of during / after Drive proper was made. And so wouldn't they just assume that all Proto Drive shit was lost? So why would even bother, like, hey, let's make this compatible with a bike we assume is dead?
Yeah, I understand where you're coming from, absolutely.
It just seems weird, especially Mach's whole existence was just all of a sudden put upon us. Oh, hey, yeah, I forgot I mentioned I have a mentor in America who's making another system that we didn't even mention in the flashbacks. Did he also used to be a person? Is he inside the belt too? No.
No.
That'd be funny, though, if they asked that.
As an advanced AI that can do stuff.
I don't know. It's just kind of confusing. I think it's more like a nitpick confusing than actual confusing, but still.
We'll see where the show goes. I don't know.
Yep.
It's going somewhere.
I hate that right now, in these, like, right at the moment, Tokuger is the highlight of this segment for me.
This week in particular, I completely agree.
And we didn't even talk about Tokuger that much, or like there wasn't even that much going on. It's just I was more interested in Tokuger than I was with Drive this week.
I completely agree there.
I agree with what Brian said a while back, because I missed that time with Gaiman Kyuger where I liked both at the same time.
Like, that was like the greatest moment.
Like, it's like I missed actually enjoying superhero time and looking forward to it rather than being like, oh crap, at homework.
Yeah.
Especially since after Gaiman was on, I was like, Kamen Rider's back! No, it left again. Oh, man.
Hopefully Ninja will be good, but...
Yeah, we'll see. But no. There's going to be a bunch of ninnies.
I never know when to stop. I just...
Neither do I. Oh, I just stubbed my toe. That stopped me.
So, now... we're almost ready for Dino Charge discussions. Almost.
With Dookie.
I thought you were going to say we're almost ready for Ramble Time. We gotta dig around in this segment a little bit more.
We're almost ready. We just need to get the blanket and crackers and a fine spritzer.
We bookended Tokuger with a Parks and Rec rant. Let's, I don't know, how about New Girl or whatever other shows Dawson watches?
You watch New Girl too. You make it sound like I'm the only one.
Well, you watch a lot of like random stuff.
This is true.
I don't know.
I watch a lot of random stuff. My interests are all over the place.
I watch a lot of randoms. It's time for ramble yeah. Time.
See, perfect segue. Actor segue that makes sense.
Yeah.
So what should we start with?
I meant to ask you guys this before the show, but have you guys been keeping up with TMNT since it came back?
I haven't yet. I have them recorded. I just haven't had a chance to yet.
Okay. I know exactly. I didn't what notice, happened, but... and then I had like two episodes to watch, so I just watched them.
So. I actually ended up watching them, even though I stopped watching it before. And I was just telling Brian that I like how they advertised like that it was coming back and like hyping up the new suits, and then the first episode's back is that worm bird thing. I just thought it was funny because I was like, all right, it looks like it's going to get better. Let's watch this episode. And I thought it was going to be like the suits episode. And all of a sudden it's a random filler, which it wasn't like terrible. I was mildly entertained by it, but I thought it was funny. I feel like that's happened once before where they like hyped up a certain event for the return, but then it was a random episode to start off. So, and you talk about that more once everyone's watched it. And
yeah,
maybe Kevin's
I was just curious
stuff. Because Kevin knows like all this stuff, I would never have any idea. He could be making it all up, and I would be like, "Oh, I believe you." All right, so, well, it's something I don't really care about. It's not like, "Oh, here's my car." It's like, "Oh, there's a character named Potato Chip." I get it. I don't know why Potato Chip. I could have some more creative. Anyway, what about Flash? How about that? No.
Yeah, okay. That's fine.
Okay. So Prison Break. Okay. Was it just me, or were they way over the top cheesy? Especially Link. I mean, Heat Blast. I mean, whatever. Whatever his name is.
I was okay with it. I will agree Heat Wave was a little much in some scenes.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. I was okay with it. But...
It's as if he's playing the parody of his character that Brian and I always do. Like, Brian and I always make fun of how his character on Prison Break was a brute that was always just screaming. And he's, like, playing that character here. It's hilarious. I was like, is this really happening? Because he would just all of a sudden be like, ugh!
I like them together. I like their scenes, like, together. I don't think those are too bad. I did think it was, a little over the top once you start to see scenes where he's, like, talking about his infatuation with fire and how it like, purified him or whatever bullshit he was saying. Like,
trying to, like, bite police officers when he was arrested.
Like, it was kind of silly, but I like both of the characters, though. I think I like Captain Cold a little bit more.
Yeah.
Because Captain Cold has such a like deadpan reaction to everything, but he's amused by it. like his name. He clearly likes his name, but yeah. He has such a like serious reaction to it.
Yeah.
And then there's a scene towards the end when they're hauling them into the police station. And I think it was Joe who's just like, your partner's a real hothead. And Captain Cole's just like, that's hilarious. And it's like, he really does think it's hilarious. He's just like that chill.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
No, but I agree. I really do like him because I like his actor because I really like Michael Scofield, and Brian knows what I'm talking about with this, but I think it's funny that they kind of are playing very similar characters to mm-hmm. what they were, because Michael was the brains of the operation and Link was the screamer. That sounds creepy. But like he was it's just I find it funny how much of the parody we talk about he's playing in this. Like it amuses me. But you know, other than them, like it didn't detract from the episode. I just kind of noticed that they were a bit over the top than usual things are. But I did enjoy the episode. I thought it was kind of some interesting conflict going on, or continued conflict between Joe and Dr. Wells, with them sort of being opposite ends of being Barry's mentor. Because Dr. Wells is sort of steering and manipulating Barry in a certain direction, and Joe's just kind of being supportive, and he's kind of noticing, you know, stuff like Barry saying it's about priorities and stuff like that.
Yeah, he's noticing that Barry is saying things he wouldn't normally say.
Yeah. And I thought it was interesting, though, that they kind of had Caitlin looking for Firestorm and the Fire and Ice thing going on with the Fire and Ice villains. That's probably just a random connection I made. But
look at all the puns.
I don't think those are random connections. I think it was all very intentional.
I don't know. Was it, though? That's hilarious. That's going to be a new thing.
I'm glad that we're getting more with Firestorm. It's interesting. I don't know. All in all, I mean, it was a good episode. I don't have any like problem with it. I do really appreciate the continued like showing the sort of bond that Barry and Joe have.
Yeah.
Towards the end, in particular, I don't know. It's just a nice touching moment. I guess
it's a nice relationship. It's one of my favorite relationships in the show. It's just I hope he doesn't die. That's all I'm saying. Like I've seen people say, "Oh, I bet he dies." It in season, it'll motivate Barry to do such and such. I'm like, no, don't kill him. I like him. Kill Wells instead. I really liked Sisko getting to interact with the police officers and like give him a demonstration, and he's like using the name Captain Cold, and I love how he stumbled upon the name Heatwave whilst talking about the gun. I thought that was good. What else? There's something else I was going to say. Oh, I was going to say, I like how the Flash right now is able to sort of juggle multiple plots going on, in terms of like they have the main plot with Reverse Flash, and then they have like sort of side stuff like Captain Cold and Heatwave that they're able to keep going, and then also having stuff like Caitlin's mystery and stuff like that. So I think they're doing a pretty good job of that and not making it feel overcrowded, at least for me. And I thought it was interesting that what's his face? Blondie protected the Flash after that's it, like Eddie Brock, but totally different universe. But like that he actually protected him. I mean, I know he's a police officer and whatnot, but he really did not like the Flash a few episodes ago after he tried to beat him up. And like when Barry showed up at the scene, he had this like look of anger on his face, like he just wanted to punch him. So that just seemed really sudden for me.
I guess.
I guess he
was just like picking between two evils in his head.
Yeah.
So.
It just seemed like just the way it played out. Like I can see that. Like he would rather have the Flash take them down than have them be on a rampage, but like the way he rushed in, he's like, oh no, he needs my help. When like 3 seconds later, when he showed up, he was like, fucking kill that guy, fucking kill him. Like he had this like look of anger on his face, and then all of a sudden he's like, oh no. But I don't know, I just thought it was kind of strange the way it was played. Anything else? I can't think of anything else.
Yeah, nope. I don't know.
Nothing. So, Arrow, the other side?
Sure.
No. So this episode was a bit slower, but I was really fine with that. I saw a lot of people complaining about it, but I think it needed to be that. It would seem really weird after the events of the last episode to come in guns blazing. And I think it was very appropriate, and I like that we kind of have this time of, like, the unknown for them. And they're just kind of, like, waiting to find out, and then when they do find out, they don't know what to do. And I don't know, I like that it's not very quickly resolved. I mean, we know Oliver's alive. We pretty much knew when he was stabbed he would still be alive. The show's called Arrow. That Roy spinoff was all a joke. It's not really going to happen, guys. I'm sorry. But
damn it.
But still, I like that it's not very quickly resolved, and it gives things a chance to move forward for everybody else.
This episode was hilarious. No, I agree. I enjoyed the episode quite a bit. I agree. I enjoy that we don't immediately have Ollie back. I didn't really think that we would. I kind of figured we'd have, like, something to delay his return. And it's cool seeing Dig and Roy kind of take over.
Yeah, the suit's too tight.
So that was a, you know, they had some cool scenes. I thought the opening scene was pretty cool. The big firefight that they had.
Roy was doing some crazy acrobatics.
I think a lot of it's because, Ollie gets a lot of the focus typically. So it's cool to see Roy and Diggle actually, like, out there and doing stuff and kind of, you know, center of attention.
Yeah. Now I'm just thinking about a show called Roy and Diggle. It's like their spinoff after Ollie dies, and it's like a buddy cop film. But yeah, that's a lot of, I read several interviews about it, and that's what this kind of is going to be about. They're kind of get the spotlight a little bit, and it's like a trilogy of episodes, I guess. When they interviewed it, made it sound like it was going to be all about Laurel, but she's just part of it. And it's kind of going to be about, you know, how, like, without Oliver there, what does this crusade mean to them? Do they even want to continue it?
That's an interesting concept. I really like that they're exploring that, because, you know, it does make you think, like, well, if Ollie's gone, like, do they really have any reason to stay? I mean, hell, Felicity walked out in this episode, so, and obviously she kind of came back a little, but
I mean, we all pretty much imagine they're all going to come back in some form. It'll just be kind of interesting to see, like, what their individual reasons are. I mean, I imagine a good driving force is the fact that their work from the last 8 months was pretty much all undone. So they need to redo it. That guy kept all the files, so I imagine they're just going to get the files back from him. You see those files? I'm keeping them right there. I didn't mean to show you where they were. Don't look at them. Wait, what's
don't
up with that guy not being able to get shot?
Or anything like that.
What's up with that guy not being able to be shot?
I looked it up instantaneously just now.
There was no delay at all. Wow. Yeah. I did not talk to myself for 2 minutes.
But all Wikipedia tells me is that he is a metahuman. But I mean, that's who knows if that's how it is in Arrow, since they don't really deal with that stuff.
That's why I was confused. Because as far as I've gone is Mirakuru, which is just
is kind of neat here that they mention Brickwell's name was previously seen on Oliver's list back in season one.
Oh.
Which is kind of neat.
But yeah, I was just really confused because he had that fight with that dude and he's like, oh, he nicked me. And then I saw like a bullet mark. I'm like, oh, maybe he just meant he cut him or something. And then later, Diggle just straight up shot him in the head. He's like, oh, that tickled. I'm like, wait, what the hell just happened? And we're like glazing over this. Like, this guy just got shot in the head and nothing happened and now you're running away. Explain. So hopefully next episode or so they expand on that a little bit. But yeah, because that does seem odd because the universe has powers in it, but they don't touch that so much on Arrow except for Miracru. So it'll be interesting to see that. What else about the episode? Oh, I'm really excited for Laurel to be Canary. And even though I felt the pacing felt sort of weird, I think maybe partially because of the break, but I like the fact that her deciding to become Canary now is sort of, even though she was on the road to before, she's kind of forced into it early because she wants to sort of fill the void or help fill the void that Oliver is, you know, leave with Oliver not being there. Side note, I want to fill Laurel's void. No, but I'm glad that, or I like that that's being used like that. And she's sort of wanting to step up and sort of has to out of necessity with, you know, there being a lack of Oliver. And, they've said that she's not going to be like expert fighter right out the gate.
Yeah.
And, you know, we only saw it for 3 seconds, but I like the fact that she's going to have a rougher start. And I just want to say everyone gives her a hard time for the, how quick she's jumping into it. And like I mentioned, she's going to have a rough start. And also I have an easier time believing her being able to fight so fast than Thea, because Laurel, I mean, sure, she's been the damsel in distress a couple times, but she's also fought people a couple times, and they mentioned that she had martial arts training, whereas Thea was running away like 5 episodes before season 2 ended. So it's not like I don't believe Thea can be trained. I'm just saying I find it more believable that Laurel could catch up faster than Thea, and Thea's sitting here diving off roofs and no one's saying anything. So like, I feel so bad for Laurel, because I used to hate her too, but I've grown to like her, and I'm looking forward to her being the Canary, and she gets so much hate. But I think she looks kick-ass in the costume. It looks really good. I like it a lot.
The only comment I have is perverted, so I'm not gonna go there. I am not going to Kevin this podcast up any more than I already have.
I don't know. Something looks really cool.
I wanted to mention a couple of moments that I actually did find legitimately funny over the, during this episode. And they're all just like reactions that the characters have to one another. The first is when Merlin was in their little base, the Arrow Cave, and Diggle pulls a gun out on him.
Oh,
and Merlin's just
gun.
Like, you know, that... I would find that more annoying than I would threatening. And Diggle just pulls out a second gun.
That was pretty funny. And then Merlin's like, all right, you got me. Like, one gun, lol, but two guns, oh shit.
the second was Ray Palmer talking to Felicity. And, you know, she's like breaking down and telling him, he's like, I can't remember his wife's name, but she's like, you know, she's saying her by name and she's like, your fiance. And he's like, I know who she is. Yes, I know who she is. But the third is when Felicity, again, kind of has a little breakdown in the Arrow Cave, with Roy and Dig. And she's talking about, she mentions that she doesn't want to do this anymore. And she walks out. But as she walks out,
she turns the lights off. Yeah.
But they're
rude.
Still standing in there. So it's like, you bitch. Shut the lights off on us. We're still in here. We still use this. Why? Like, I get the like symbolism that she must have thought she was putting into that moment, but still, it's like, that's a dick move. Like,
yeah,
don't shut the lights off on us.
That really was. I thought that was funny too. It reminded me of the scene in Batman Forever when Bruce is turning off all the lights in the Batcave, and you just see like the lights going off on the Batmobile and everything. And then, but except there was nobody in there when he did that. But she turned it off on them.
All I had were the dim lights of the computer screens.
and then, well, I want to see the scene afterwards where Roy had to awkwardly walk upstairs and flip the switch back on in costume so that he and Dane could resume talking. you got this, man? No, I got it. Who gets it?
Trips I'll get over it next step. Time.
That's really good. Knocks over a bunch of the weapons. yeah, that was good. The only other thing I can think I wanted to mention was it's funny because I knew there was going to be flashbacks, but it felt odd throughout the episode simply because, with the exception of him being dragged around, Oliver was believed to be dead. So it was like flashbacks of a dead man. So it's like usually, you know, Oliver's like contemplating how brooding he is, and then like they flash into the flashback. But this one was like Roy, and then all of a sudden Oliver in a ski cap. But then it really tied it together, though, at the end when Japanese guy knocked on Katana's door and, you know, she's the one that helps him. So it kind of tied together with Oliver, you know, helping him pass.
I really hated that scene because the current timeline spoiled the past timeline.
Well, she's not going to die? Well, I think that, like, the way
I'm completely kidding, by the way.
Well, what I was going to say, the way it seemed, the way they talked, it almost seemed like she was dead.
Yeah.
In the previous episode, I'm thinking something happens to the kid, because that could be why it seemingly is like they don't have as much contact. I don't remember the guy's name, Katana and her
Maseo.
Husband. He's around. His name's what?
Maseo.
Maseo. Okay, so yeah, so that I'm thinking that might be. I don't know, but. But that tied it all together. Like, I wasn't outraged at the episode, but I just thought it was funny how the flashbacks felt disjointed simply because we're having flashbacks of someone that's dead, but not really.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But, yeah, I just wanted, that was the last thing I really had to say about the episode. But before I was rudely interrupted by Brian again, I was just saying I'm really looking forward to the next few episodes, seeing how Oliver comes back, how the others decide to stay, and seeing Laurel's journey. And the episode, I think it's the episode after next, I think it's the one called Canaries, where I think we're going to get Sarah flashbacks because she's in the episode. Also, Slade's coming back at some point.
Thank you.
He's going to be mad. He hasn't been fed.
Ooh, water.
He's going to be out large.
Forgot
that's what water. That's what Slade said when he broke out. They actually told him to get anorexic to prepare for his return. It's going to be called Slade's Quest for Food.
Slade and Boomerang go to White Castle.
Oh my god. Oh, so true story. Oh, that's good.
Oh, I hate myself. There's more shows. Oh, Parks and Rec.
Yeah, Parks and Rec. Everybody watch it. I know Brian watched this week.
We're actually adding that to Ramble Time?
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
God, hi, Bella.
Because I want to talk about how awesome I thought the Leslie and Ron episode was.
It was. Yeah.
It was a great episode. It was a bottle episode with those two. Like, I didn't even notice, or think about it until near the end, that with the exception of the beginning and end, no one else was in the episode. And it was great. I knew that they were probably going to make up when I saw the episode title for this one was Leslie and Ron. And it seems pretty quick, but if this was airing like normally, this would be like 4 weeks.
Yeah.
But I'm still glad that it did get resolved quickly. Just because even though it created some interesting things, I didn't like everything being so different all the time. Like when they went to the new office or the old office, it was all new. I felt like Craig, I was like, I need to lie down for 45 minutes. No, a full hour. This office looks different. But I like that during the episode, they changed the office back. I thought that was great. It was just such a good episode.
Yeah. I think it's one of the better episodes of the series thus far.
Yeah.
Because it basically just kind of looks into their relationship and kind of fills in the gaps that we had from the past 3 years regarding the two.
Yeah.
And they're sort of, you know, little feud breakup kind of thing. When they lay it out, it kind of makes sense. I mean...
Yeah.
Ron demolished Tan's house, so Leslie's pissed.
What does he call it? The nurse's house?
Yeah, like they obviously were growing apart as friends since Leslie was, you know, more getting busier, and I just everything that was portrayed in it, I really enjoy it, and I really enjoy that it is kind of a sad truth of just
life,
working, or yeah, life in general, is that you just kind of drift apart eventually.
And I like how in filling the gaps, everything felt true to the way the characters we knew. Because, you know, we watch it for so long and you feel like you know them and, like, how they would behave. So when they do something out of character, you recognize it. And so, like, in the first couple episodes, we're just kind of told where they are now with very little in between. So it's like, it seems so weird, like, Ron would quit because he hated change so much. And even though he did change, like, with his family and stuff, he still didn't like drastic changes. So it seems so odd. And I like that that's very naturally explained why it happened. Okay.
Even within the context of this episode, speaking, you know, of them acting out of character, the whole Ron going to ask her for a job thing,
yeah,
is out of character for Ron, like very much so. But yeah.
Especially, like, with the government.
Yeah, yeah,
the federal government.
Think about it though. Like, I get where he would be coming from. Like, he was already working in the government, which is unlike him to begin with.
Yeah.
So it,
gutting the beast from the inside.
It, like, it wouldn't make sense for someone like him to work that long in a government position if it wasn't for, you know, having the people around him that he actually did care about. So it makes sense that, you know, he would feel lonely, and that would be kind of one of his solutions.
Yeah, I liked the whole explanation behind it, because when we heard just Morningstar, I assumed it was over some sort of project, and it was the Morningstar thing itself, but the more real reason why they drifted apart completely was because Ron was really hurt that he wasn't around his friends, and then when he attempted to fix it, Leslie blew him off, like, unintentionally or not. And it was really sad because Ron's not very often vulnerable, and he was seemed very vulnerable as he gets. And so it was really sad,
yeah,
especially for him. But I thought it was a great episode, the way they revealed everything. And it's managed to be simultaneously kind of emotional and also really funny. And, yeah, I really liked it a lot. The episode before wasn't quite as good.
Yeah, that was.
There's something off about it. I found it kind of amusing that Terry was so excited to be a notary. I kind of missed the whole Ben and Larry are friends bit, because I thought that was really funny at the end of last season, like how much he was friends with him and was like standing up for him. I don't think there was too much else about that episode. It was just
I liked the flashback in one of the two episodes where Ron walks up to the third floor and he says hi to Larry. He's like, oh, well, it's actually Terry now. Okay.
And then he just goes with it.
Moves on.
That's pretty much the way it is with poor Jerry. Oh, man, that's good. I also, one of the casual little pop culture references I like when they talked about the finale of Game of Thrones, where somebody marries Jack Sparrow.
Yeah,
I thought that was funny.
She's like, man, that show really went downhill. It makes sense if you read the books.
That's good.
Oh my god, am I dead? I'm a ghost. like his full freak out when they just wouldn't sign the papers.
Yeah, and like then when they just keep talking over him, he's like, can you hear me? Of course not, because I'm a ghost. Oh, it was great.
Poor Ben.
I love the part where that girl is talking about, like, essentially making milk, and she's like, it's like shoved through, like, what is she, like, beef meat or something, however she described it, and Ron just goes, it's fucking milk. I thought that was good. But yeah, I'm enjoying the season so far. Sad to see it end. I feel like it creates more ramble time talk just because it's interesting to find out all these little tidbits as opposed to, hey, that joke was funny. it's kind of interesting watching it, because it's not like I didn't look forward to watching it before, but there's like an extra layer to it because I'm curious about where this character ended up or who's going to appear this week or what random future stuff is happening.
The clear tablets and phones and stuff still throws me off.
Yeah. I don't know why they didn't that. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead. No,
I was just going to say, because you're talking about technology, I was saying, I don't know why in that one scene I couldn't stop staring at that guy's Cheerio dispenser. I don't know why. That was completely not worth me interrupting you. So go ahead.
Cheerio dispenser?
That guy in the Gryffindor office or whatever it's called, Grizzle, when he was in his desk and he was walking in place, there was like a little Cheerio dispenser on his desk and I couldn't stop staring at it.
What I was going to say wasn't much, like, much more important. I was just going to say it was neat to see Craig again and to see that he's running the parks department now, which makes sense.
Yeah, because like when he appeared, John was like, "No joke, Leslie. I think he cares more than you." I'm glad he's in there. I heard he was going to be, and then we didn't see him. So I definitely hope he appears a few more times because I think his character is really funny. It's just some great timing. I remember he was suddenly in an episode of New Girl, and he was a lot more subdued, but he had a couple of Craig moments. And he was like, "I'm eating pizza. Don't judge me."
Billy Eichner is, he's a very funny comedian. I've seen him in a couple of things and it tends to range, but there's always like those little moments where he has an outburst.
Yeah. Like it's that character's almost all outburst on this show. So I know there's a lot of people that find him annoying. I feel like whenever I see any comments anywhere, it's like evenly split, but I personally think he's really funny. Because it's like not just like the fact that he's freaking out, like because he has a certain like funny demeanor about it, but it's like the things he says are just great. All right, I think that's it for Ramble Time. Is there anything I'm forgetting? I don't think so. Just Chuck Testa. That's an oldie. That's not an oldie.
Okay. There's a thingy.
I just remembered it.
So now it's time for the Facebook question of the whenever, because I don't know the schedule anymore.
Yeah. It's literally called the Whenever-ness now. I changed it.
Okay.
It's on the
whatever bullet points. Got it.
Yeah, see? Neat. All right, so because I'm so creative, we're essentially restarting our what is your favorite whatever color ranger, but now with Sentai. Yay for creativity. So we're starting with pink because Aerosol etched it in the Stone of Time. And so it was that way forever. If I would have done anything else, the universe would have imploded. All right, Brian?
All right. Gary Baker says, Sakura from Boukenja is my favorite. Every other pink can suck it. Bouken Pink was able to keep flirting with Chifu and still kept being a badass.
Stephen Ketchum says, I'd have to agree with Gary. Bouken Pink was the only one who wasn't just the girl, but Time Pink also was a pretty strong character. She'd be number two. Was also a pretty strong character. I was the one that caveman that up.
Brody Taylor Gage says, just to make Aerosol mad, Umeko.
You mad, bro?
Anthony Ciano says, Shuki's going to hate me for this, but honestly, Amy, why? Why would I get mad? I just didn't really wait. Wow.
Yeah.
She was fine. She was a rich bitch, but still had a job and was probably one of the most independent pinks I know of next to Boukan Pink.
Oh, it's me. Alan Brown says, Amy for being a tough enough pink ranger to make up for the lack of another female of the initial five ranger team.
Aerosol's yawning. Jordan Baker says, Shuki is my favorite pink senshi. Is this a joke?
No, he's dead serious. Look at his class picture. He's dead serious.
Okay. I had to figure out whether or not this was leading to a real answer or not. He brought the right amount of feminism to the team, but was still able to hold his own.
It's my hands, man.
Are those crying emoticons? I can't see from here.
They're crying or laughing, I'm not sure.
Laugh crying. Lying.
In crapping. All seriousness, my favorite has to be I'm from Gokaiger. She was a lost princess from a dying planet, changed to a traveling pirate with childlike qualities. Plus, she got to be Abari Pink. Enough said. It would be either... Sorry, I read that wrong. It would either be her or Mako from Shinkenger. Please don't hate me, Shuki. I love you and all the members of the podcast.
Why am I just full of hate?
Yes, Brian, you're very angry. Well, that defibrillator changed you.
He made you pink. Pink is the color of hatred.
I'm okay with that. I'm okay with being pink. It's fine. George Hansen Jr. says, Hoka from Magic Ranger, because she's the only one who doesn't make me want to rip my face off.
You sounded so George, disappointed.
George, I question your taste sometimes. Amy is okay too, but I saw her camel toe while out of suit and man parts while in suit too many times to count. It scarred me. Hoka also turns into a fan, a cannon, and a car. That's kind of cool. She can do just about anything except get rid of her ugly haircut that makes me vomit. Thank you, George.
Joshua Perry says, Kagura, no, really for me it's I'm since I really like her backstory and I feel she got more to do than any other pink senshi.
TKD Tigre says, pink senshi, huh? None really stick out to me, so I'm choosing Amy. I like friendly girls who can kick high.
Quote of the day.
And come on, she made a Triceratops pink. She is so hashtag wow.
First of all, Ursula is beautiful. Second of all, I don't think she made the Triceratops pink. I think it was always pink, but
no, she made it pink.
She did with her friendly high kicks.
Originally,
it was purple, and
yeah, originally it was purple. She's it. Like, fuck that shit, and got, like, some pink paint.
She Amy kicked it Bandai and America. Pink. True. Friendly girls who can paint. Paint! That's me, though.
She
I'm more artistic.
She can paint. We established this. Christian Cheer says, my favorite pink senshi is Reika Saotome, easily my favorite character from GoBusters. Clever.
My name is Jeff Moses. It's from 22 Jump Street. Amy from Curious Girl. Only three cent. That's not even important to the story. I can't even get a simple sentence out. That's what I get for liking friendly girls that paint.
Panthavong says the pink one. Oh, well, god damn it. I skipped Kiefer's because it was a joke answer, and now you gave a joke answer, and you make me look like a joke answer. So screw it. I'm moving on and read a second one. You can't stop me. Muhammad Fires Daniel said, oh, god damn it. I get
Why would you willingly do that? That's like saying, oh, I'm just going to step in this bear trap. Thanks, Kiefer.
He mentions that this is going to irritate me because he says Umeko, but his real answer is Amy, because pink Triceratops, she's tough enough pink, she's tough enough pink Sentai whenever she helps the Kyoryugers all the time. Three, hashtag, wow!
I just squeaked.
And I think there was like a winky face in there somewhere.
Like, I like how we read those as if we're talking to someone on the phone and just kind of saying what they're saying, like, generally. Like, here, to summarize, he's saying something about a monkey. He winked. Wow! I don't know. He's just kind of incoherent. I also like that I didn't realize that Kiefer's kind of excluded from this and he doesn't watch Sentai, so I imagine he's just going to come in here with random pictures every week. He's like, I can't not participate.
I kind of hope Kiefer just puts up the picture of Sergeant Frog for everyone and just says...
Kiefer has to comment. His official job title is RR Podcast Number One Fan. That's just...
The truth. Danger, Joe Bailey says Sakura from Boken Ranger because all she wanted was Chief's dick. She even went as far as to sneaking onto the Go-Go Voyager so they would be alone in space. In space, no one can hear you cream.
True story. When I first read that, I thought he forgot the S. Like, on accident.
Awesome.
Corey Gold says, Mako's my favorite pink, mostly for the cooking. She is a master chef.
The sacred one, Derek Zautan, says, Amy, because, wow, he didn't put a hashtag in front of it, so.
No enthusiasm.
He says, not really, because it's 4 a.m. and I can't think of any other ones. Okay.
Let's see, so Delano Matthews, Kagura's with a troll face, so fuck you, guy. Chenick Stewart says, I need to give my vote to Sakura as well for reasons that guy Gary M. Baker said. Also the fact that she went with Chifu to space to go bang on different planets. Sounds like an episode of Sex Sent Me to the ER.
I'm kind of sad I didn't get to read the one with the face because I was going to go, Kagura. But I realized that Vice Daniel was talking about nonsense. No sense. All right. Eric Nichols says... Whoa, he got extra R's in his name. Sorry. No offense. I'm sure you love R's. You said if you had a third one, you'd be even cooler. Okay, anyway. Well, seeing as I've only watched from Gokaiger through Tokyuger, I'd have to say I'm, just because she was a badass sometimes, and her Aubrey pink costume made me laugh really hard.
Jared Castile says, Kimberly, lols.
Classic Castile.
Sorry, so I read the question and was like, huh. So I looked up the pinks of all the shows I've watched because my brain can't comprehend anything. And like, I legitimately like couldn't pick one. I'm like,
I was in the same boat. I didn't think about it when I joked about Dawson having to pick pink for the first one until later where I'm like, man, I really screwed myself over on that one.
Well, my answer was clear from the start, and my favorite pink is Aubrey Pig. That's a real thing, so that's my favorite.
Brian, did you have a real answer?
No.
Well, we kind of interrupted him. I feel bad.
If I had to pick, which I guess I do, I probably either Sakura or Amy. I would imagine, judging off of Time Force, I probably would pick Time Pink if I'd watched it, but I haven't, so she's not a viable answer for me. So I'll just go with Amy because she kicks high.
That seems to be a thing. She's friendly. Like here.
She's friendly and kicks high.
So yeah, pinks, I don't tend to really like pinks all that much. They boil down to just being, you know, the cute character that's just there for the little boys to have something to look at, or the grown ass man if that's what you are.
I don't know.
that really doesn't like appeal to me, I guess. Not to mention, like, most of the time it's just kind of, it boils down to two general character types, either cute and boring or cute and annoying. So I picked the one that I thought fit that bill the least, which was Hoka from Machi Ranger. Because, you know, her, the only purpose she has is to get drunk and fuck bitches. So I thought that was pretty cool.
That's what I remember from Machi Ranger. That's all I remember from Machi Ranger. They were just a family of players, just hooking up left and right, using magic to get the D and the P. And it's just, that's why Machi Ranger was so good. Look how Magic Shine was just a straight up pimp. He just rolls in with his magic cat. He like, he comes with pussy. Like, the pussy is included. I seriously cannot stop.
He's got a magic carpet too.
I don't know if you intended it, but there were some like really uncomfortable incestuous overtones in your little rant there.
Me?
Yes, you.
A rant?
It was.
It was just a series of jokes. It was a rant. It would be
jokes,
about horses.
Rant? I don't care. Why are you dwelling on that?
I don't know.
Do you have a rebuttal, sir?
No, because I don't know what was incestuous about it.
No, they're family.
No, well, you were talking about them like all hooking up and
like as a family. I mean, that's what I mean.
That's
like,
what I mean.
No, I didn't mean like they did it together. I just meant they all used their magic to independently get laid.
You know, I was also joking back. I wasn't.
Oh, well, you say things so sincerely, Aristotle. You know how many times that's happened? You're so sincere, and then we try to respond, you're like, I was totally kidding. You're like the Captain Cold of the podcast. You can play things so straight-faced, it helps that I can't see your face. So, I can't read it.
That's hilarious.
Oh, that was so good. Oh, dear God, what is wrong with us?
Where do I begin? And that
I'm
list?
Sorry, everyone. This has been a really messy episode.
Really
we died like five times over the course of recording.
We really did. After the fourth resurrection, you just don't come back the same.
Every time you die, you just get a little bit more stupid.
Can you imagine how many times I've died?
You are a dumb fuck, let me tell you.
Yeah, you know, that's right. So that was the conclusion of our Facebook segment. Next week will be a color that I choose, unless somebody sets it in stone. But we'll continue that.
I was trying to think of something funny.
No, not next week. It'll be week after next. It's every other week. Sorry.
What's a funny color? What's the funniest color?
Orange.
Big one.
There's only one choice. Oh. Don't give me that battle cognac stuff.
White.
He doesn't even count. He wears a square for a helmet.
White, I pick white.
Hey, well, I guess I can work. Why Blaster Beetleborg's my answer. What's your favorite book? Downton Abbey. That's not even a Downton Abbey. Classic. Alright, now it's time for
Final Thingies, MP3.
Final Thingies!
I have a thingy, and it's not final!
Eventually, right. It'll be Final Thingies MP4.
And 3P. Oh, I already did that joke.
You made this exact joke last week.
Know what?
Guys, come on.
No one's gonna notice.
Yes, they will.
No, they won't.
I noticed.
That's my rebuttal. No, they won't. God.
Actually, my Final Thingies Club is actually a movie.
What? He just blew my mind. You just said so much stuff right now.
Final Thingies dot move.
Hashtag Zen move. That's still the greatest typo of all time. Kamen Rider, Kamen Rider, Kamen Rider, Zen move. That's still my favorite. Hashtag ZS Toys chat days.
Those were dem days when the tentacles worried me.
I scream.
So that's a thing. The Dino Charge, I'm not a very cool thing that just happened. So this may or may not be recording my audio. But if it is, great. If not, then there'll be an absence of audio here. And judging by the fact that my recording audio is going up and down, it's still recording. So I'm just gonna wing it and talk for a little bit. My A could not be joined. My Wi-Fi could not be joined. That's neat. That is a very neat thing that is happening right now. I do believe our router is dying. Or AT&T decided to update it. Yeah, that's what I figured.
Hello?
AT&T is a bunch of a-holes.
What haven't you done, Brian? I haven't. Okay, dead. I got to know. Hello?
There we go.
Hello? Hello? Welcome back to the RR segment before it dies out again.
What happened? What happened to Brian?
My router just decided to reboot itself.
Right when you said, I haven't what? I got to know.
Well, anyway, I haven't watched it yet, but there's a animated Gridman short that was made by someone I don't remember.
Matthew Lawrence or No Dice. Superhuman Samurai was the prequel to Horse Sense and Jumping Ship. So,
truth.
Oh God! Didn't even let me get to tie my joke. Let me get to.
Hold on. What?
Oh! Don't you cuss me out, you son of a bitch!
Oh, that's a long one.
I know, it's like a huge foghorn or something.
God.
Stop. Stop. Please, God. I was like trying to take the headphones off, but I realized if I took them off, I wouldn't be able to hear anybody. Brian? He muted himself. What was the last thing you heard me say?
You asked about the guy who couldn't be shot.
Yeah.
And that was it. Like, I started to talk, and then, I looked him up on Wikipedia, and, I was reading, and then it just kind of cut out.
Yeah, because I asked the question, and there was dead silence, and I'm like, are you guys quiet because you're stumped, or because I'm such an idiot, and you couldn't even believe I just asked that? And then there was, a pause, and I just go, hello?
Can you guys hear me?
No. Who are you?
Well, now we can.
Kevin? Okay, you're here. Was it your wilder again?
Yes, it was.
Made me look like an idiot.
Why is it doing this?
Well, maybe. But then it really tied it together at the end where Oliver's.
I'm just going to sit in the corner and cut myself.
Oh, Jesus, Brian. Let's not talk about cutting ourselves right now.
The only knife I have isn't sharp enough to cut anything.
You know what, Brian? I am walking out of the arrow cave and turning the lights off on you. I've had it. I'm going to go work for Shaw now.
Okay, I understand.
What was the last thing I said?
You're repeating yourself about how you like how it tied.
I was just tying my point together. I was ending my point. Now the emergency alert system is on. Thanks, Brian. You did that.
I did. I called them up and said, "Delay Dawson's television."